Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So the mission continues and the Bairns are going for five again after reaching the quarterfinals of the Trust / Iron Brew / Tunnock / Petrofac Challenge Cup / Trophy. After a decent performance and a win over Queen's Park at the weekend. Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am your host, John McInally, and he's back from his halls, the ginger god of the pod. A one-man band in the main stand, it is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. How are we? You doing okay?
I'm okay. How was your halls?
Very good, very hot, if I'm being honest.
Was the factor 50 slabbered all over you, Ross? You're not, obviously, being a man of ginger persuasion, the sun is not your friend.
No, it's not. I did have the factor 50 on, and it was really hot. There was like 36, 37. I shouldn't moan, because it's brilliant weather, but it was too hot.
Was it Tenerife you were in?
No, it was loads of Bairns out there, actually. As it turned out, because my Facebook was littered last week with people saying, "Oh, is there anywhere to watch the Scotland game in a decade?" I was like, "How many people are out here this week?" So yeah, no, it was really busy as well.
I saw a few people saying that because you obviously missed the Hamilton game, which was on BBC Al, but there was a couple of pubs showing it. Did you go to the pub or did you just sit on the balcony with
it? No, that was our first full day there, so I didn't abandon the family that early. into the holiday, so I just watched it on my phone, and do you know what? Obviously it was 0-0. You and Lewis dissected it last week, but I think it's not a bad point. I was quite happy come full time. We had chances to win. They had a couple of half chances as well, but we're still top, as you said last week, so, and we go on to Stirling this week. I'm pretty confident with that one. Hopefully not.
You have a big packet of ham on, yam on, Lays, and a wee Estrella to go with that before you watch the Hamilton game.
As always, as always. Obviously, I didn't feel too bad being in Tenerife for that moment, because you guys were absolutely battered with the weather, and it was like, 36, 37 degrees that day. So I did a couple of cervezas watching the game.
Very nice. Before we get any folk, I've got to talk a bit about Scotland through to the Euros.
Come on,
Euro 2024 in Germany. Here we come. Ross, are you going to get the chance to get over?
I hope so. Well, obviously, I'm in the Scotland Supporters Club, so I don't know how many points I'm going to amass. Hopefully it's enough.
I believe it's 12 points that you probably are going to need to get.
I'm on 11. However, there's still games between now and then, so I'm hopeful that I should be okay. I think I'll be on maybe 12 or 13. It just depends when the tickets get allocated, I suppose. But
it's the end of November. I'm sure I read 27th. That kind of rings a bell for the tickets.
Right.
Through UEFA, and obviously there'll be SFA, I'm guessing,
they'll get allocations. When's the draw and stuff?
I think about 7,300 tickets for each game, but because obviously you take into account sponsors and all that sort of stuff and home clubs. But obviously Scotland into it. You'd think, oh God, we could Scotland it as always, but when you only need a point, it was just a matter of time, wasn't it, for it happening?
Exactly. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
Viva España. Thanks for doing the job there.
Yeah, eventually. Absolute arseholes last week. But
they're arseholes last week. They're absolutely heroes this week. let's deep fry the tapas. So, a brilliant result for Scotland.
Did you see that flag that was made? Somebody took it over to Spain. It was tapas and titties tartan army.
Tapas and titties tartan army. Jesus.
Class.
But I know it's absolute brilliant to be there again, and long may it continue being a tournament. I might actually get to go there for work. I'm really hoping that's going to be the case.
So well, that means you do have to remain sober if you're there for work, I suppose. But maybe not.
Well, once the show's done, mate, once the show gets done, it's fine. But yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation to have with the wife. You're going to where for 2 weeks? Germany to watch Scotland, and that is for work, honestly. Really, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Exactly.
So yeah, we'll see if we get away with that. But yeah, shout out to our sponsors as ever, Haldane Construction. They have just announced their September Employee of the Month, which is Luke Stark. He's a second year joiner apprentice, and apparently his attitude and commitment have developed massively, and he's got his September Employee of the Month. And apparently on the quote on their Facebook, it says he's adding more tools to his collection. Now, I don't know if that's literal tools or metaphorical tools in terms of his development.
Good punnage either way.
Absolutely. And they also want to say to check out, Peter's reached out to me and said, check out the new blog, which this week's focusing on Haldane's commitment to environment and sustainable practices. So not only, you know, you get your, you know, they've been working Central Belt for decades now, delivering construction and building projects, extensions, new builds, the full shebang. They will also tell you how they are committing to the environment and sustainable practices. Check out that blog on the socials right now. And like I say, if you're looking for, you know, an extension or anything like that done to your house, speak to Peter and the team over at Haldane Construction. They will sort you out. They've been recognised with awards galore. Like you say, you've got great apprentices like Luke as well working for the team there. So get them onto your project. Quality and loyalty is at the heart of the business. Hit them up, haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them on the gram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, or you can email Peter and the team, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. So, yes, thanks to Peter. You were in hospitality again at the weekend. You're never out of that place now, Ross.
That was the hospitality. I've been getting this reputation for being a corporate whore, but it wasn't full blown.
Well founded.
Yeah, I'm in hospitality this Saturday. However, yes. last Saturday wasn't. It was it was really good actually. So the as we know from last year, the club did a Partners Day. So if you were a gold or silver sponsor or advertiser, you were invited along to the game. Not, as I mentioned, not full-blown hospitality. It was really, really great to be invited along for the game, though. We're all in the Westfield Lounge, and we heard from a few different people. We heard from Jamie Swinney, talked through where the club are. Not too dissimilar to the email that's went out from the board today, very similar content in terms of the message. There was a really, really good leadership speech from Scott from Crunchy Carrots as well, and then last but not least, Stephen McGinn was talking for about 15 minutes about his career, about different leaders that he's worked alongside, what he's learned from a lot of different managers and a lot of different players, and that sort of molded him into the leader that he is as well. So it was a really, really good sort of hour before the game. And it topped off a win thereafter. So all good.
Good. Talking about that email from the club, you've probably got this in your inbox today. It's not the first email. It just seems these emails are coming fast and furious now. And it just, you know, we're obviously, and it just, I guess, shows you where we are. We're still trying to make up this £400,000 deficit, which is in the budget. And it just seems the club constantly are asking for, you know, I mean, the commercial team are doing great guns, and where we are, they'll probably outperform where they are, but it's just every other month there seems to be an email, you know, a bowl getting handed round to the supporters again, asking for money. Now, I guess that's achieved, you know, asking people to pay more into the FSS, because now we are primarily a fan-owned club. You know, and that's how we're going to grow, unless we, you know, there's the threat from outside investment. But you know, if this £400,000 is just, it's a big ask to, you know, get the supporters to cover it. I mean, we see there's only 750 in FFSS now, and
the last update was 770, but I noticed the FSS put like a tweet out this afternoon saying they're going to give an update as to what the numbers look like now. I think they might be towards the 800 mark, so it's not too dissimilar as to where they were last week. But it is slowly growing, which is great to see. John, it has to come from us. Like, who else is interested in putting money in?
It just seems, you know, for me, it just seems like a charity. It's like getting run like a charity now. I mean, I know where the money is, but, you know, we're a business. You know what I mean? We're a business.
How does it feel like it's a charity?
Just constantly. We're getting asked constantly. The supporters are constantly. I mean, we've had a good few emails like this now. You know, it's almost like a begging letter. You know, coming to us constantly. Now, I understand that, and that's the only way we're going to grow it. But it's like, is, you know, the people that are in the FSS, you feel what this pressure. It's like someone turning up at your door. You know, you get these people that turn up at your door and say, well, you give to cancer research or whatever, and you just feel you're being forced to do it, which, I mean, well, it's fine, because if this is where the only money's this is only where the money's coming from, that's fine, but it just feels constant.
John, I don't think anyone's been forced into giving money, though, are they? They're not being forced.
But it's, the way it's worded, Ross, and the way it's constantly worded, it's putting pressure back on the support constantly. It's like a constant pressurization of the support, right?
But that is where the money has to come from, though. Like, who else is going to give pony up? And to be devil's advocate, who's going to pony up the dough? There's no one interested in putting money into Falkirk Football Club other than the 4,500 fans that go. I we're at a critical time, right? So obviously, I read the email too, and it talks about the money. So obviously, we know. This year is covered, right? The club have talked about the fact that if everything runs to plan in terms of targets, stretch targets we met this year, we are looking in a good place to achieve what's there. The ask that's coming, though, is obviously we're in a position where they want to offer contracts for next season. We're already looking at next season. And if we don't grow the income into the football club across every income stream, then, and if we're not in the championship, that's obviously where they're trying to sort of play, they're trying to pre-plan that scenario, which obviously none of us want. We want to be in the championship next season. All being well, that is where we will be. Obviously, the history of the club is that we've struggled to get out of this league, and I can understand the pragmatic nature of where they need to plan for, but there's nowhere else this money's going to come from. But there's and I would actually be really dubious as somebody who wants to pump half a million pound at the club just now. What are they doing it for? They're not going to get their money back. The fans are always going to be here. That's why we are currently the best source of this income. So I kind of get it. Is it ideal? No, it's not. But we've signed up to be in a fan owned club, and there's no one else going to pony up the dough.
It does just seem it's constant, though. It just seems a constant asking. I mean, it's worrying from that perspective. I think that it is this constant ask, because the club are obviously at the position that they have to keep coming back to the fans and going, we need more money. We need more money.
Well, I think until, and this is my opinion, I know this might not be ours, as in you and I's collective opinion, but I think there's an awful lot of fans, and we know a lot who we go with, who are not members of the FSS. Could they afford to be? Some yes, some no. Is there a pressure for people to do it if they can't afford it? Absolutely not. And I think the club and the FSS have said that quite a bit. But there are a large number of fans who may be able to afford that little bit more in the month or join. And I've seen some of the numbers as well. I don't think 2,500, 3,000 people joining the FSS personally is achievable. Could you get another 400-500 people doing it, though? Absolutely. I think that to me is where the club are looking at. But they're also, as are the FSS, looking for existing members, if they can afford to do so, is to pump up. Could they go to £15 a month? Could they go to £20 a month? It's worth asking the question, because if we don't ask the question, you'll never know the answer.
But I mean, I think the numbers, I mean, you're not going to get, there's a reason, though, that, and I don't know what the reason is, that obviously fans aren't, there's a lot of fans. I mean, I've said to you many a times, Ross, fan ownership, I'm not 100% bought into. I mean, I've always said I want a big sugar daddy who loves Falkirk to come in, a Euro Millions winner to come in and, you know, take control of the club, you know, because...
Would we want somebody like that to take control of the club, though? I don't know if I would.
I would.
But their money, look, their money could run out. Or they lose interest. Will you ever lose interest? Will I ever lose interest? It would take a lot. So why? I personally wouldn't. I think that would be a horrific scenario. See if you've got somebody with a club at heart, like the previous guys that have put a lot of money in. So your Sandys, your Martins, the patrons group have put money in as well. Unless you've got a fan who's exceptionally invested in the club personally, I don't know if I'd want someone not invested in the club personally to get involved. I would worry me. Like, why are they doing it? What are they looking to get out of it? And they could just as quick leave as well. And then you're back to square one again. Do I think external investment could work in the club? 100%. I think if the Rollins had came at the right time, a better time, then that would have worked. But it's not so far. Unless that ever changes, no idea. But external investment could work, but I think the fans being heavily involved is the right way for me. I don't disagree with you. I think there's external investment could work, but I wouldn't want to go back to relying on one person's checkbook. But I think we've seen loads of examples across Scottish football where that's just been the worst thing to happen. But I do think there is a happy medium.
So where they got this 400,000 gap? Because for me, the figures put out there by the club today, 2,000 fans contributing £3.85 per week. You know, it's not going to happen, which is scary because, you know, if this is what we're operating at, where do we, you know, find that from? Where's that money going to come from? If fans aren't doing it, we're going to be in big trouble.
Once we go, and I mean once, because it will happen, right? Once we get up to the championship, your sponsorship money goes through a lot higher. Your gate income goes a lot higher as well. So bear in mind what the club are talking about being £400,000 to in this division is to keep us full time, right? But once you get up, the £400,000 they're talking about is to be competitive. Now, I'm sure the club, once they get into the championship, they could break even quite comfortably, but we'll not be finishing anywhere near the top four or five. We'd be sitting 8th, 9th, or 10th. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of where we are now. So I want to see a competitive Falkirk football club. I do. So I don't want to just be one of these teams that yo-yo between Championship and League One or otherwise. I want us to kind of be where we've been for most of my life, which is in the Premier League or fighting to be in there. So it's a big ask, John. I completely get it because obviously the fans are paying a lot out just now, whether it's hospitality, whether it's retail, whether it's just rocking up at the stadium every setting Saturday. They are paying their way, but there's a lot of fans who are out there who may not be and may be able. So the communication for the club and the FSS, I can understand why it's continuous, because if they don't ask, they'll never get. And if the communication in the last 10 days has got an extra 100 people already joined the FSS, fantastic.
You just wonder why people aren't, if they haven't bought into the FSS by now, why are they not buying into it? That's a good question to ask. And actually, let's throw that out there. If you aren't a member of the FSS, I'd love to hear why you aren't a member of the FSS and your reasoning behind that. I think that's a really important question. I think it's a really important question to ask and throw that out there. So please get in touch with us on our Twitter. Drop us a DM if you want to arrange an anonymous, an email. Please, johnross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Because for those people that listen to this podcast and aren't members of the FSS, why are you not a member? What puts you off that? I mean, obviously finances and the way we are, cost of living, that could certainly be a big factor in it. But if that's not the case and you could afford to be in the FSS, right? Why are you not? Because I'm really interested to find out the reasoning behind that, Ross, because
it's a good show, John.
Something there that's not connected. If we're drawing 4,000 supporters every week and we've only got 750, which is less than a quarter of that support, why are the other three quarters of the support not getting?
I think involved? Of paying for me, John, it's probably a less number in it, because you've got paying in terms of people who can pay, right?
Kids. So you've got a lot of kids.
You've got kids or OE. Well,
OEPs are minted, mate. What are you talking about?
Some will be, John. Some will be, but a lot might not be, right? And they've obviously not got a regular income coming in. But going back to your point, I think it's a good shout. It's a good question to ask. Mm-hmm. The other thing we need to, and let's use our platform to do it, is if people aren't invested in AFSS and they don't already support the club in some other ways, there are other things that they can do if they do not wish to join the FSS. There's the 1876 club that the club run. There's buying something for the shop. There's buying a scarf. There's buying hospitality. There's going to the Fortress.
I mean, whatever. You can sponsor Ed, speak to Graham and the team and get in and sponsor, yeah. Do whatever you fancy.
So, I think it's really important that whilst people may not want to join the FSS, which is absolutely fine, there's loads of other stuff that they can do if they're not already doing it. Loads will already be doing it, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like you say, we're a fan-owned club now, and like you say, that's probably where the money goes. The reason I just find it, it's a constant ask, you know, and we are, at the end of the day, Falkirk's a business, you know, it's not a charity. That, you know what I mean? So that's why, but anyway, listen, we'll talk about this more at the weekend, Ross, over a couple of pints. But listen, let's crack on with the show. We've got to talk couple of roundup things. Community Golf Day was happening Monday, looked like a cracking day. Saw a couple of pictures from that. Was it Big Pilo, Hogarth, and I think it was somebody else who coordinated?
Ross McKeever, I think I saw. Think
Ross McKeever, yeah.
It was great to see. It not only brings in some money at the football club, but the fan engagement side of things. Things like the fans who were in the teams with the players and the staff, I'm sure they had a great day. And it's things like that that helps build the bonds, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not a golfer myself. I'd love to have went along right enough. Especially, I don't know if Tam Lang was playing. I'd love to be coupled with Tam Lang.
I didn't notice Tam in any of the photos, but he could well be.
Onwards and upwards, under-18s. Before we move on to that, John McGuinn and Callum Morrison, League One Player of the Month and Manager of the Month. That's always... well deserved, but it's always taints it, doesn't it, for the next league game? Yes,
well,
the player of the month and manager of the month.
Well, it's not done us any harm so far because obviously we just beat Queen's Park, but I know what you mean. But historically, it's been the kiss of death. But well, this is a different team, it's a different club now, it's a different Falkirk Football Club, and I am very optimistic with the season ahead.
Club appointments, they're looking for a new physio as well. Rachel, who is our current physio, Rachel Gillen, she, I think, has left, and the club are now looking for a new physio. If you're a Falkirk supporter and are a physio, get involved, man. That'd be cracking, wouldn't it?
You don't want to apply just so you can touch Tam Lang.
I did read the application for it. It did say you need some sort of physiotherapy experience, so I don't think, you know, me turning up would go, yeah, like a massage.
Groin strain, Tam? No, I'm fine. No.
It's a groin strain. So they're looking for a new physio at the club. I don't know what Rachel's going on to do, but, you know, she's been around the club for a good few seasons now. And certainly seems to do.
That's not the right phrase, is it? She's been round the club.
That's the wrong phrase.
Yeah, she's been at the club for a few seasons. She's done amazing, and do you know what? We've not had too many injuries. Like we've had a couple of long term ones that are like way outside her.
She must have been delighted when Ryan Williamson moved on at the end of the season, like.
Yeah, it freed up a bed. Exactly, it freed up a bed, didn't it? She was like...
She's managed to get free time back in her life, do you know what I mean? Able to watch a box set, like, God, they're over... Though in saying that, if she was betting paid overtime, you know, that's all that money of went to a new Ryan Williamson, no being there.
Probably rang the bell when he left, yeah.
So, new physio, we're looking for... one of those. Under-18s are doing well. Beat Livingston in the Scottish FA Youth Cup on Friday there. 1-0. The Falkirk women drew with Forfar Farmington, who apparently that's a good result because they were unbeaten. Susan Wyatt, again, she's a goal machine. And she got the goal up there. So the Falkirk women doing well again, and so well that Lauren Shaw, captain, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, she's been nominated for the SWF League One Player of the Year. The awards are set to place on the 5th of November. So good luck, Lauren. Captain Dynamo, we had her on the show. She was absolutely fantastic. So brilliant to hear Lauren's up for Player of the Year in League One. And that's going on. We're recording on a Monday, and if you're about and you're in the school holidays like myself, we're playing the Fifers. Yes, it's Falkirk versus Dunfermline Reserves at the stadium tomorrow at 2 o'clock. If you know you're off with the kids, why not get down? It'll be, you know, any chance to try and beat the Fifers is always good, even if it is the Reserves.
Yeah, no, 100%. Hopefully, you get a few hundred people along tomorrow. And
I might head down myself because my daughter's away doing some sort of acting. You know, when you punt your kids out to these classes during the holidays, she's away doing that. So I might fire down myself actually and check that out. So that's happening tomorrow at the stadium, 2 o'clock, and it's free to get in. So head down if you fancy following your day with something. Forge Sportville, just to mention for that, tickets still available. 17th of November, happening in Shira. Me and Ross will be hosting. Special guests on the night, Ken McAllister, Sam McGivern, Tiger McGotton, and Davey Nichols. However, there's a spanner in the works because it's the quarterfinals of the Trust Trophy the next again day. So fingers crossed we don't draw TNS away.
I think that's the only fixture that could potentially put a spanner in the date with this event. Yeah, so I'm sure loads of people would love TNS away, but if it means the postponement or the movement of Fortress Bravo, let's avoid them. Or we could get them in the semis. We'll get them in the semis. Listen, we'll take anybody in the quarters.
But we'll talk about that when we get past the game and into the draw later on. But yeah, it should be a cracking night. £35 ahead. All the funds are going into the academy. Like you say, it should be a good laugh. Me and Ross are already picturing it like to be a bit like the Graham Norton show, where we, you know, we'll have a couch and you will invite people onto the couch and it'll be a bit like that. Maybe we should have the big red chair. You know, we could get people up from the audience and tell us a funny story.
Oh, yes, I like that. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe speak to the club, see if we can get a chair sorted and a wee lever.
We just get Davey Nichols to launch them off the chair. That's a great idea.
Davey Nichols wouldn't need a lever. He would just throw them, wouldn't he?
Aye, exactly. If Davey doesn't like the story, he just launches them back into the crowd. Fantastic. That sounds like a good idea. So get in touch with the club. All the details are on the website, or you can get in touch at marketing@falkirkfc.co.uk if you want to get involved. We'll stick the links up on the episode details, and we'll stick out a couple of tweets this week just to get you involved, because it'd be great to see you down there. Right, okay, on to the game. I didn't make it. I had a family do, as I talked about last week. But Ross, you were down there, obviously, in hospitality as per usual. But let's speak to our real supporter who was in amongst it, Ross, shall we? And our guest pundit this week is Scott Fallon.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, everyone. Hi, how are we?
Very well. If you're watching the YouTube version right now, Scott is dressed up for the occasion. This is what we want all our guest pundits to do here on in. He's wearing a lovely suit, a lovely shirt combination there, looking the part. He's setting the standards for the guest pundits for the future here, Ross. Do you know what I mean?
Making us look really scruffy as well, John.
Not at all.
I'm wearing an Arcade Fire t-shirt. Ross is wearing a hoodie, and this man's putting us all to shame.
Good band. Good band.
Good band. Yeah. There we go. Scott, you're a veteran. You were on last season as well, so you know what the crack is. Remind people who your favourite Falkirk player of all time was out with the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, I'm still going to stick with Pedro. I know John Baird does come close, but I just love Pedro. The whole go out, smoke 20 a day, beat everyone on the field. Just
serving sepia at night. He did it all. He did it all. Did someone tell me Pedro still lives locally?
I think Steny does, you know.
I've never seen him kicking about.
No.
Please, listen, if you, again, get in touch with the podcast. If you've seen Pedro, let's start Pedro Watch, right? If Pedro is still in the area, let's start Pedro Watch. If you spot Pedro Moutinho anywhere in the Falkirk area, let us know on Pedro Watch, because, you know, I'd love to know where he is. I'd love to get a big man on the podcast.
Pedro Watch. We're going to get people's texts that said, he's at Sanam, John, he's at Sanam. Get rid of
And it's Pedro Watch, not something else. You'll just get a whole bunch of people turning up at people's houses. You know what I mean? Like they do, like those hunters that they do on Facebook, where they turn up and, you know, set up things. It's Pedro Watch. Pedro Watch. Okay, we don't want to know about anything else. All right, right, Scott. You were in amongst the, unlike Ross, who was up in hospitality, with prawn sandwich in his hands, listening to leadership speeches.
Don't listen to him, Scott.
You're down amongst the fans at the match on Saturday. Falkirk 1, Queen's Park 0. Four changes from the previous week. Hogarth coming in, Bisland getting a start, Jordan Allen, great to see him in the starting lineup, and Ola Lawal getting put out left, which you look to the bench and oh dear, Cal Morrison isn't there, another there's Brad Spencer, but I believe they're just little knocks they've had and they should be okay for next week, which was good. But also dropping out of that team was obviously Sam Long and Ross McKeever as well. Great to see Calvin Miller back on the bench as well. We'll talk about his impact when he came off the bench a bit later on. And Sean Mackey again on the bench and getting some game time this week as well. Also good to see the young boys, Howe, Knox and Gibb, all in there on merit. John McGlynn spoke about it in his interview that they had a good result against Livingston on the Friday night, and that was a wee kind of, here's a wee bonus for you. We'll get you on the bench. And obviously Harrison Howe came on. He could have scored in the last minute.
Very close to scoring. He was outstanding on Friday. So I was at the game.
Did you go to the reserve match?
Yeah. It was, to be fair, there were a lot of under 18 games, you know, you kind of find neat players, technically very solid, but lacks a bit of kind of quality at times when it comes to kind of taking the ball forward. The guy, for someone who's as young as he was by far head and shoulders the best player in the park. I thought, not afraid to pick up the ball, take a man on, creativity wise, he looked sharp, and I thought he was worth his game. And I was almost buzzing for him. I was like, I'm going to see to score two goals in 2 days. I thought, this is great.
How amazing would that have been if he had a score?
Unlucky with chance. We'll get to his chance in just a minute, but you know, I think overall impressions, just a summation of the overall game, Ross, what did you make of it?
Were they winners, if I'm being honest? I thought we were quite comfortable for a lot of the game. Queen's Park are obviously not doing too well in the Championship just now. I watched, obviously I was flying back from Tenerife on Friday night, really late Friday night, and I watched the pre-match video of the Queen's Park coach. I forget his name, it's Dutch lad, and but he had basically said, listen, they've played a bit better the last couple of weeks. He fully intends to play his full strength team against Falkirk, and they're desperate for a win. That wasn't what I saw from Queen's Park on Saturday. If that was their full strength team, we've not got too much to worry about if we do end up in the Championship, because they didn't look great. And to go back, I know I'm just meant to summarise this, but see, if you think about that, it's the what, fourth or fifth Championship team we've played now, and a Tom Lang mistake was the only defeat we've had in these games. I think we should be really chuffed with how we're doing against these teams. Really chuffed.
Yeah, I mean, certainly looking back at, you know, the game against Thistle, the game against Ayr, you know, we did look very comfortable against them. I mean, and that goes, we go back to what we've said all season, that the players that we have in this side aren't League One players. Do you know what I mean? They are Championship, lower Premiership players that we've got playing for us, as Hamilton have as well, I would say. But yeah, I mean, looking down the stat sheet and certainly looking at the highlights, looked very comfortable. Scott, do you agree with Ross?
The only player that I thought was troublesome, because I didn't even think Rudy Payton looked particularly great on Saturday, to be honest, but that Barry Hepburn, the ex-Celtic Bayern Munich player, oh, I tell you what, for a player that you never wanted to see have the ball, I thought he's going to cause problems. I think apart from him, there was really... Dom Thomas was dire. Payton was just marshalled at the game by both Lang and Donaldson. But that Hepburn, my heart was a bit fluttery when he picked up the ball at times. I was like, oh no, someone lamp him. But no, I think we just coped very well.
I mean, it's not bad when you've got a player on loan from Bayern Munich right enough, as they have. Not a bad player to pick up. But yeah, I mean, obviously not at the game. Dom Thomas, you said, was off. It's a player I've always rated, Dom Thomas, as well. He was off the game, though.
I just looked sluggish. I thought, to be honest, I mean, maybe it's hard to just pick on one player, because I suppose Adam Thomas is probably one of those players, a bit like Nesbitt, but if the players around him are playing well, you're going to notice his quality, because he's going to find that killer pass and he's going to create something. But if, like Ross says, if that's their first strength team and they are, you know, gagging on a win, if that's the performance you're playing against a team that, you know, I wouldn't want to compare budgets, but I'm assuming, you know, nowhere near them financially, that was dire. Really dire. If it wasn't for Callum Ferry and three outstanding saves, that really could have been 4, potentially 5-0.
Yeah,
totally. I agree, Scott. We had loads of chances, and if a neutral was there, they would have struggled to pick that Queen's Park were the league above.
Yeah. We started off the game, obviously, after 6-5 minutes. We got a penalty. These things are coming around a lot more often now. It's unbelievable this season. I think it was an obvious penalty. Good run from Loal down that left-hand side. He looked like he played well at the weekend in that position. He looked like he was causing nuisance down that, you know, obviously his right footed caused a lot of problems, do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I really liked on Saturday was when you had Agyeman on the other side, who was just, he just looks dangerous. And I think part of it's because he's got the strength, the speed, and power to beat players. I think there's also a point where players are quite cautious to mark him, because I don't think he knows what he's going to do, which makes it incredibly difficult for a defender to know what he's going to do. And Ola Lawalo, yeah, he maybe kind of fluffed his lines with a few one-on-ones he had, but the ability and skill to get past his man to create those dangerous chances was electric to watch. I've not seen wingers who aren't stuck. Well, Lawalo maybe not a starter, but Agyeman is. But the way they played as a team for realistically 4 or 5 changes, like you say, it was cracking to watch, to be fair.
Yeah.
No, I would agree, Scott. I think I was really chuffed for Lawal on Saturday, because I do worry about him sometimes, because he doesn't really track back and stuff, and like, we are quite a hard working team. But on Saturday, I think he worked his absolute socks off, and he looked very dangerous every time he had the ball, and he was really unlucky. He could have scored, as you said, with that certainly I remember one-on-one in the first half,
and he had that shot from, you know, where he absolutely skelped that shot as well. It just went wide.
Yes.
I thought the world might explode when Lawal and Agyeman were put in the same team. I thought, oh my God, two absolute mavericks put in the same team. I was just like, I've said all season, please. I don't think I can cope with that, the two. But like I say, from the highlights, Lawal had a cracking game. Got the penalty, obviously, put away very comfortably by Jordan Allen. It was great to see him starting. And obviously that's going to do his confidence no wonders as well, because you know, he's been, I think I've said it before in this podcast, is we probably don't play a system that suits Jordan Allen, you know. And when you look back at, we spent money on this player in January, you know, and it's always been a hard one for me. It's like, we McGlynn doesn't play a system, because I don't think Jordan suits that lone striker role, but he looked all right actually from the highlights I saw. Ross, how did he look?
I thought he worked really hard again on Saturday. He reminded me a bit more of John Baird on Saturday. He was doing a lot of dirty stuff. He was tracking back, getting his tackles in, just a wee hardy, stocky player. He brought others in as well, which Ross McKeever does obviously very, very well. But Jordan did that too on Saturday. And as you say, he tucked the penalty away very, very nicely. I forgot it would be him, because see, when Lawal got fouled, the first thing I said was, oh, who's going to take the penalty? But then, of course, it was Jordan Allen. And he did. He slotted that away absolutely beautifully.
Yeah, another player coming in, and I've seen a lot of people saying good things about it, was Leighton Bisland, who obviously came into the side at right back, which allowed Finn to move into his natural position. Scott, how do you think both of those players played?
I was delighted for Bisland. I actually thought he was solid. There wasn't anything that really wowed me, just it was just a very solid defensive and, you know, kind of creative play in the team. Finn had a few heady moments. There was a back pass that almost got us caught out. I think we're 1-0 at that point. And thankfully, the boy, just, he never took his first touch on it, went out for a goal kick, thankfully. It's difficult, isn't it? Because I think when you've played now, what, 10 plus games at right back, you've been asked to come into midfield, it's going to take time to get back into the complete change of position. But I'd be more than happy to see Finn staying at right back for the foreseeable, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, in that first half, Oliver had pulled two good saves out of the goalkeeper, Ferry, who was back in. We were speaking to Enzo from the Spider podcast last week, saying he was like goalkeeper of the championship last season. But two great saves from him to keep Oliver out. And, you know, going into that first half, it looked like, you know, them hitting the crossbar. Again, your friend Barry Hepburn hitting the crossbar, which is one of those ones that's hard to drop in the line and, or kind of come back out. But luckily for us, it came back out. I mean, it could have been 3-4-1 at half-time in the chances we had, Ross.
Yeah, and it would have been deserved had we went in with that sort of scoreline, John. And I think you talk about the saves from the goalkeeper. There were two fantastic saves. The first one, a worldie, and it was I was in line with it in terms of the shot, and it was destined for the top corner, and yeah, what a save. The second one, I was a wee bit more critical of Oliver. I thought, and it's really easy for me to say, like, from my non-professional football background, but I also think, like I said this at the time, he could have like gave the keeper the eyes, so like he obviously tried to curl it into the top corner. He could have kind of done that, but then like slotted, there was a huge gap in the left hand side of the net. He could have just stroked it in, and that's really easy for me to say as just a punter.
Almost like the boy Montrose did the other week there when he cut in, you know, and he went down to the bottom left rather than going to the
offside. I thought he could have done that with the second one, but the keeper definitely saved Queen's Park from a doing. And the Dutch coach, we were still in the car heading back into Falkirk after the game, and he was interviewed, and he called it out as like a man of the match, worldy day that he's had, because he did save them 4 or 5 times at the game.
Yeah. Oa should have had another penalty in that second half, I think.
Yeah.
Looked like it.
Yeah. I don't know why the ref, if he's given the first one, I don't know why he's not given that second one.
Have you seen the replay as well? Because it looks, you know, sometimes the keeper he'll flap at it and the ball just lands kind of anywhere. You can see in the replay, if you can slow it down and like properly zoom in, Ferry nowhere near the ball. So I don't understand how neither the referee or the linesman, who's got the perfect view straight ahead, didn't see that. But I don't know if that's maybe last season Falkirk not getting penalties creeping back into play. I don't know.
I don't know why he's not given. I mean, it was a shame. Like, like you said as well, had his chance when he went through in that 101 as well. And, you know, he probably deserved a goal on the day as well, you know, from his play, from what I saw. You know, the only thing really Queen seemed to be trouble was great, good save. It was Nicky only had one save to make, though, by the looks of it, on the 78th minute. Did really, really well getting across and just, you know, hitting one out. Hairy moment in the 88th minute where there was a bit of a scramble. Dawson managed to scramble it away. But, you know, when the fact they're throwing a championship team or throwing their keeper up at the end of the game to try and get an equaliser, yes. I was like, hold on, guys, it's the Trust Challenge Cup trophy thing. What are you doing? But I suppose you could go for it.
Yeah, they went for the scissor kick in the dying seconds, didn't they? And then handled it. Handled the ball, didn't they? Forgot where it was.
I know, mental. But and then we talked to Elon Harrison, how great to see a young boy coming off the bench and almost scoring. It would have been a brilliant, you know, he did everything right, and you thought, oh, just tucking it in the bottom corner there. But
John, so just to call that out, he obviously, as we talked about earlier on, it was fantastic that he got on the basis that he'd scored the night before, right? And then I think it was Saturday night or Sunday, Tam McManus, who must know him through the
Academy.
And you hear his story. That is a tough, tough situation for a 16 or 17. Is it 16, 17? Either way, it's a tough, tough backstory he's got. And I'm absolutely chuffed for him that's happened. And I think John McGlynn, let's face it, John's not going to throw this lad on the bench every single week, right? But it was a reward for how it went the night before. And what a story. And I just hope it all works out for him. Likewise with the other two lads as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great to see young players coming back through, and long may it continue getting young players and getting back to that model which was so successful for us.
Sign up to the FSS and we can make it happen.
But yeah, all in all, guys, it looked like a relatively comfortable afternoon against Championship opposition. We had Enzo on from the Spider Podcast, as I mentioned last week, and he actually went into saying, I think he's a win, and turned out that way.
I listened to a bit of their podcast, John. I don't know if you caught it towards the end of the week as well, but the three guys who were on their podcast all said the same as Enzo, that they anticipated a confident Falkirk giving them a game, and we definitely did.
Yeah, well, let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match, shall we?
Yeah, delighted. Absolutely delighted, yeah. Got a good start in the game. Ola getting the box, getting brought down. Penalty for me, and Jordan Allen's got to step up and strike it. He was striking penalties yesterday. We practiced penalties yesterday. Hit it well, just exactly hit that one there. Goalie went the right way, but he's got so much power on it that it's in the back of the net. So delighted with the start. And I thought we had the better chances. They've hit the bar in the first half, but Ola's through 1v1. The goalkeeper had two great saves for Gary Oliver. And I'm sure there's some bits and pieces there. So I think at half-time, if it had been 3-1, 4-1, I don't think anyone could have complained. I think we were on chances. I thought we were ahead, you know. Queens are a good side. They're a good passing team. They're a good possession-based team. They're well coached. And we expected them to have the ball and for us to be at times not having the ball. So we had to defend well. As a team, the whole team, everyone, not just the defenders, the midfield players, and the strikers, you know, the attacking guys. And I thought that's what we did. When it came towards the last 10, 15 minutes and Queens are throwing bodies forward, it was a big sort of test of character for our defence. And I thought they stood firm. I thought, again, Tom and Cole were immense. Leon was good. We put Yatesy back there the last sort of 10 minutes or so. And even the midfield players, Liam Henderson there, the work rate he put in. It was nice to get Sean Mackey into the game. It was nice to get Calvin into the game. So good news in getting these couple of boys back. Calvin getting on the pitch for about 20 odd minutes. Sean just about the same. And then Ola's, you know, say he's managed to get the penalty there. There's maybe another penalty in the second half that, you know, maybe it was the goalie. I thought the goalie brought him down. So again, he's played his part. Alfie was a threat. And Jordan Allen, he's worked his socks off. He's unfortunately doesn't score in the second half. He's hit a great strike. That's what I always managed to hit off of Calvin Miller's face and go out, unfortunately, you know. So I thought, God, Jordan probably deserved to score a couple of goals on his performance. So the guys that have come in have done themselves well. A number of players missing today, you know, half a team at least. Missing, Brad was injured towards the end of the week. He got injured in his groin and his thigh, sorry, Callum Morrison's groin. That's what kept him out. So we changed the goalkeeper, similar to down the air in the cup, the same cup. We put Nicky in. Nicky did really well. It was a great save 10 minutes ago or so for Dom Thomas. Dom hit really well with his left foot going across, and Nicky's got down and made a great save. He didn't have an awful lot to do, but what he did very well. So, all in all, delighted, clean sheet. Very gritty in the end, very gritty. The defenders having to put everything, their head on it, clear balls, where the danger is just getting the ball in the box and having to clear it, and blocks and putting their body in the line. So delighted, clean sheets, really good, another clean sheet, which is excellent. Thanks for everyone who came along here today, another, you know, big support. It's a Kenny Cup that's not attended very well in most grounds. I'll probably find it today might be one of the biggest crowds. I don't know what it was officially, I don't know what it was, but I know there was enough in here to suggest that it might have been the biggest crowd of the day in Scotland. So thanks very much. A great crowd last week as well, that, you know, forgot to mention it last week. Thanks for everyone who came along. Absolutely every single one of you are putting your hand in your pockets, coming along and supporting the club, supporting the team, supporting the players. Can't thank you enough for that. So all in all, we are delighted to be in the next round of the Cup.
I feel sorry for Leon McCann and Leighton, Bisland, because they didn't even get a mention. Everybody else got a mention. Every other player got a mention apart from those two boys. The poor lads. What have they done wrong?
Do you know, John, that was the first time I didn't see that after the game. I'm not sure why I didn't watch, actually, but so that was the first time listening to it. He's made a few good points here as well that we've not talked about so far. So obviously getting Calvin Miller back into the squad's brilliant, because he looked very, very lively. He didn't look like he was returning from...
Oh, that little ball that he fed right outside to the left-hand side for Owen, yeah, and then the ball lap from Leon was delightful.
It was beautiful. He mentioned Sean Mackey there. Sean Mackey being a defensive midfielder was not something I expected to see on Saturday. It was weird looking at him. I'm in no position to critique. He's put a little bit of timber on while he's been off. And I think that's why he's been put in defensive midfielder, not like in at left back. Because I don't think currently he doesn't look fit enough to be getting up and down that wing.
Yeah, So you try to say that Sean Mackey's been put into midfield because he's a bit fat, Ross. Are you fat shaming Sean Mackey?
I'm not saying he's fat. No place to say that. However, I think he's obviously at his stage of return where he's maybe not quite as optimum fitness. That's all I'm going to say.
John, I think you've got your Falkirk Daft headline for YouTube. Ross Wayne fat shamed Sean Mackey.
There you go. Yep, that writes itself. But yeah, good to see Sean back into the side, even though he's carrying some timber. According to Ross, that's the views of Ross Wayne and not the views of John McInally. I would just pop that out there. Good to see Sean back in. Cal Miller is a big, big... You know, because I think you listen to I think the interview further, Cal Miller really was flying before he got injured against Aloha and came off. You know, we were lucky that we, in that position, we've had some cover. You know, we've had Aidan Nesbitt come in. Gary Oliver can also play that role. But Cal Miller, out of those three players, that's the player that you want to have in your side. You know, the way he started the season, and certainly he was coming into a game. So hopefully just picks up from where he left off. Because he adds a bit of dynamism. I mean, actually, I'm guessing Ethan Ross wasn't in there because he was cup tied. That's probably why.
That was what I was thinking when I saw the team sheet. Because
it's an odd player that can play that position. So we've got a few in that position, but certainly out of who I've seen play that role this season, Calvin Miller's the one, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know if you pick up on as well as John McGlynny said it was a great test of character, which. Honestly, this season has just been outstanding for me in terms of enjoyment. It's been, about 5 or 6 years of going home on a Saturday feeling scunnered with what you've watched and just being inconsolable and just leave Scott to his own heels, sit in the living room and pout for the next couple of hours. And it's been such an amazing season where, you know, you're coming home, even against the draws at Cove, you're kind of going, you know what, I don't begrudge that per se. And it's nice where you now see a manager say something like, great character, we worked our socks off. And you can actually sit there and go, yeah, I actually believe we did. Because when Paul Hartley saying it, you thought, shut up. No, we didn't, shut up.
No, you're absolutely bang on. Like, how often did we hear Hartley, Paul Sheeran, Ray McKinnon? Actually, I've just given myself like a nightmare scenario just talking to these guys. But they would constantly say, oh, I'm proud of my guys, they worked really hard. No, they didn't, mate. They were ranked bottom. But you do feel it and see it now. And he's right. Like, see that game two, three seasons ago, maybe not three seasons ago because it was COVID, but every other season, right, there's 1,200, 1,300 at that game because Falkirk fans were not interested in going along and watching us in that tournament. There was 2,600 there, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, and John was right. It was the biggest attended game in Scotland at the weekend.
Aye. And that is testament to how well we're playing.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, it is, and we've said about this side, it has been the character, it has been the mentality to fight to the end. You know, Brad Spencer's goal, the goal against Montrose from Callum Morrison, it's fighting to that end, and the character, the personality side. You know, that's 12 games unbeaten now. You know, it's a long way. You have to go back to find the Falkirk getting beaten. The last loss we had was against Dundee United in this cup, in the League Cup, and you know, it's we're flying at the moment. Right, okay, let's get the view from the supporters. Dee kicks us off saying, Tom Lang, man of the match for me. He does a player we haven't mentioned. John obviously mentioned him, but player Leon McCann or Leighton Bisland didn't get a mention, but I won't hold that against him. Tom Lang, man of the match for me, with some big tackles being made. Not sure any of the regular starters have anything to worry about from today's team, however.
That's an interesting take for you, because I don't know if I agree with that. I think there was a couple of... Bisland didn't do anything wrong at right back, and if for whatever reason Finn wasn't fit, like he'd be pushing him there, and Jordan's came in and scored. So no, I don't know if I agree that they're safe. But anyway, Ian says I got some real momentum now, going well in the league. Challenge Cup is there for the winning. Strong squad and bodies to come back. It's all looking promising.
Ross says, I didn't feel it was easy, but we're definitely the better side, which is a good sign going forward. Their keeper made several good saves. They had maybe two or three decent chances. Bisland looked pretty good at right back. Big Hendel was great in the middle.
He was indeed. Yeah, and shout out to, we know he listens, but Willie, Liam's dad, I bumped into him on Saturday, and he was giving us another shout out for... He enjoys the podcast. I think Liam must be listening to it as well. So we'll continue to call Liam Pirlo.
Pirlo, the dad of Pirlo, you know, that's Willie.
John said, I thought we played well. Didn't realise they had Louis Longridge playing right back, and Ola played him well. Can really see the difference Lang has made to the defence. Rudy Payton never got a sniff. Queens try and play everything out from the back, and we were spot on with our tactics.
Yeah, got that press going on, which kind of nullifies that. You know, Louis Longridge, I always thought was a really good player for Falkirk. You know, a player that, you know, when he left, you thought, oh, I'd like to have kept him. But he's playing right back for Queens Park now, which is mental. The kind of player Louis was as well, as you know, he was scored loads of goals for us as well. It's getting scored loads, but in a team, he was a kind of shining light in a poor team. But good to see him back at the stadium. Colin picks us up with really enjoyed the game. Bisland, Yates, Lowell, all done well. Yates in midfield is a must for me. Alan works his socks off. Glad French players got minutes.
Joe Hind, our pal, pretty scrappy and didn't feel comfortable until the full time whistle. Hogarth, definitely man of the match for me. It didn't have a lot to do, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, from the highlights, he only had one save to make, but and it didn't feel comfortable. It kind of goes against, you know, I'm not Joe, batter me, but it doesn't. Looking at the highlights, they look pretty comfortable. Maybe it's the way they've been cut, but it looked pretty comfortable to me.
That was what I was doing, because obviously I did the full time update on the Twitter thing, and I was looking for one of these gifts that did. Remember the easy thing like that? Couldn't find one really. And I thought it was quite comfortable, to be honest.
Yeah. Cal says, if that's championship standard, then imagine if we went full strength today, Oa or Bisland man of the match for me. We'll take TNS away if they beat East Fife. And did Mackie, well, this must have been written before the full-time result. And did Mackie play midfield when he came on? ? I believe he did, because he was fat. So, perfect game to try something new.
Listen, I'll reiterate, because he is a big guy, he probably better me. Sean Mackey is not a fat lad, right? I am just saying he's obviously not at his 100%.
You said you were telling me before we came on, he ate all the pies and was looking for the sausage rolls.
No, listen, that was us on Saturday. We ate all the
that was corn sandwiches you were eating, mate.
Martin says, as comfortable an afternoon as you'd hope against championship opponents. Tom Lang could have modelled slippers today.
He is a model, you know, so yeah, you know that it could be. He just maybe even wear the slippers.
Yeah. Ola looked like he's kicked on. He stood up to and gave out a few challenges and deserved a goal of his own.
Looked like it. Bairn for 82 rounds is up. Enough chances to win two or three games. Thought the keeper was probably man of the match. There you go. And I wonder for Hogarth and made a few cracking... Oh, their keeper. And made a few cracking saves. Considering we rested so many players, I thought we were pretty comfortable. There we go. So I'm not even a mixed bag, apart from Joe, who thought we went through. Everybody was kind of saying we're looking comfortable, looked all right. So that leads us on to our Falkirk Daft Rated. Who is it going to be this week, Ross Wayne?
New to pick from, but I'm really chuffed for him. I'm going to go all the while. I thought he did fantastic on Saturday.
And what about you, Scott?
It's a tough one. I do agree with Ross. Ola Lowell definitely up there. Possibly Jordan Allen, maybe just pips it for me. I think after not playing a lot recently, to come back and get his goal and have the involvement, I think Jordan Allen just.
I'll get the casting vote, even though I wasn't. And do you know what I'm going to give it to? Jordan Allen, because we sponsor his goals. So, yeah.
We do.
Falkirk Daft rated is going to Mr. Allen. Long may the goal run continue, because we can start getting the flashes up there, Jordan. Keep it going, son. Actually, on that, we'll talk about the Stirling game in a minute. Do you think he's done enough to get the nod against Stirling? Do you think Ross will come back in?
I think Ross will start. I don't see him. I think he'll get on. I think he'll get 20 minutes, but I can see Ross starting.
Yeah.
Me too.
Interesting. Yeah. Falkirk Daft then. Ross.
We've not really talked about much today, and there's a reason. And it pains me because I do love the guy, but I'm going to go Alfie. I thought he was a little bit wasteful on Saturday. And I don't know if it's just because I heard Jack in my ear on Saturday saying how he hates them, right? He doesn't hate him, sorry. But he's frustrated. He frustrates him. But on Saturday, I did see kind of a lot, like he puffed and puffed. But you know when he doesn't know, like as Scott said earlier, we don't know if he knows what he's going to do, right? There was a lot of that on Saturday and it didn't really kick off for him. And there was a lot of wayward crosses and he lost the ball maybe 6-7 times in the first half alone. I'm going to go Alfie. It pains me, but I'm going to go Alfie.
That's the second poor game he's had then, because certainly he wasn't against Hamilton as well. What about you, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of overall performance, I agree with Ross, it probably is Alfie, but in terms of just genuine frustration at the times, the two shots Gary Oliver had, I was about to rip my hair. Not there's much left of it late enough, but it was about to come out at the time. But yeah, probably have to, for overall play, it probably has to go to Alfie, sadly.
Alfie gets it then. There you go. So that's us into the quarterfinals. Draw is on Thursday at 1 o'clock. In the hat, we've got Dundee United, TNS, Morton, Arbroath, Raith, Hamilton, and either Rangers B or Airdrie. Ross, who do you want out of that lot?
Morton at home.
Yes. Bring on the Morton. I'd love to get it up Morton.
I think we could beat them in the current form that we're in. They're not doing that well. And I've had no real hatred for Morton at all in my lifetime. But in the last few years, they've tried to manufacture this weird obsession. And I just want to dick them 6-0 at home.
Yeah, do you know what? Morton at home, I'd love to batter them. Absolutely love to hammer them. And they're having a poor season as well. It's us and Hamilton are the only League One sides left in it. And then we've got obviously TNS from Wales as well. TNS at home would be all right.
I can see loads of people wanting TNS away, but as we talked about, Scott, you were the only one we were talking about this. If we got TNS away, the Fortress Brockville night that we are we need to get moved. So I don't really want TNS away. It would be brilliant, but I don't want TNS away that weekend.
I tell you what, if it was TNS away, however, I've got Queens of the Stone Age that I couldn't go. Ah, oh, nightmare.
Who would you want, Scott?
I mean, in terms of, I have to admit, I'll put my hand up, I don't know enough about Rangers B to actually tell you if they're good or not. Whenever you see a B team, though, you always do think, oh, that could be interesting. But I don't know what even the rules are for first team players dropping down. But Scotland national team do something, and it's an amazing thing where it's like, when they travel, they all put together funds for a local charity and they support, you know, a local cause. Like in Kazakhstan, they give it to a children's home. So I think if, you know, the wonderful people of Falkirk are doing an away day, Morton away could be a really good place to help some of the locals, because fuck, it's a terrifying place. Maybe we could give back. You know, we could give back to the locals of Morton. So I wouldn't mind Morton. I mean, at least if they come to Falkirk, you know, they get a bit of civilization. So Morton at home, Morton away, you know, either or.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens there. Draws on Thursday at 1 o'clock, as I say. I think the quarterfinals will be played on November the 18th. Is that interfere with our league fixtures, doesn't it? That means the Montrose game is going to be moved. Montrose away.
Montrose away will now be midweek sometime.
I will never get up to Montrose in that hospitality with my mate at any point, which has been meant to happen for because I think it was moved last season as well because of the Scottish Cup, and I never got away for it as well. So I'll never happen. It'll never happen. But that's probably for the better because he's been on. Mark, who was on this podcast a few weeks ago, has been winding me up after that statement released by the board today. It's just been annoying me. Anyway, that's it. Scott, thank you so much for once again being our Falkirk Daft guest pundit. Brilliant to have you back on, mate. We'll see you around the stadium sometime soon. And just a reminder, if you want to be a pundit just like Scott was tonight, you can do that. Please drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook or email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So we're back to league action this Saturday, and it's away to Stirling Albion, and yet again Ross is in hospitality.
So there is a story to this one, though. So our good pal Graham, he was 40 recently, and there's eight of us who are booked into hospitality at Forth Bank. I'm actually really looking forward to it for a couple of reasons. Well, one, it's hospitality, so it's a laugh anyway, right? But two, it's been a while since I've done hospitality in the home end, obviously. And we're going well. I expect us to score maybe a goal or two or more, hopefully. I don't know how they're going to take to a bunch of Falkirk fans being in the home end celebrating. And from what I hear, Falkirk fans have taken over their hospitality this Saturday. It's not just us that are booked
well,
in.
Well, you'll be fine. I was going to say, Ross, you'll be absolutely fine because I think
it'll be a good laugh. I'm looking forward to it.
A lot of Falkirk supporters will be in amongst it.
I would say so.
So we usually at this point, what we do is try and get on, a supporter from that team. Now, I thought, there's obviously Still and Albion don't have a podcast. And so I thought I'll go into how they've got Facebook groups. Like we've got the Come On You Bairns page and all that sort of stuff. So I went into their Facebook group and said, hey guys, they let me in. That was just nice of them. I said, hey guys, anyone to do Come On Falkirk Daft podcast, chat about the game at the weekend? It'd be great to have you on to get the Stirling view. So, a few people replied, and then I thought I had a guy lined up, and then he says, we'll let Stavies take this one. I want nothing to do with Falkirk Football Club and its Orc fans. Thanks very much, Logan Martin Malloy. And then somebody else said, I'll do it. I can, if you want to run down a couple of discussion points, and I said, drop me your email, I'll pop a link over, just join your discussion points, style of play, hopes for the season, blah, blah, blah. And then he just messaged back saying, falkirksuckass@yahoo.com. And that got four laughs. So that's the kind of banter that we're playing this bunch of Tories, from Stirling. That's the kind of banter to expect from their home fans. Wow.
Doesn't shock me because they're a bunch of arseholes, aren't they?
They've got, I don't know why, they've got a real... Yeah, that's one of these other teams, like we talked about Morton, that really hate Falkirk. I mean, I get it. It's a kind of local rivalry, Stirling Falkirk. And there's been decent games over the years between us, but they've got in fairness to them, they brought an okay support when they came to the stadium that Friday night game where we hammered them. But that's the kind of banter that we're dealing with on the Stirling side. So I think you're all right on Saturday, Ross, when you're heading into Stirling and you'll be fine.
Exactly. Listen, I know one or two Stirling Albion fans who are absolutely, yeah. I used to work with a Stirling Albion fan. Absolute genuine guy, really good football fan, and his chat was good as well. However, I have already seen since the last game, in fact, since pre-season when they got promoted, they've got quite a number of wee annoying wee fannies on their Twitter page, and or that follow the Stirling Twitter, and they're forever on Falkirk as ones as well. So listen, we will go through there in big numbers on Saturday, and I personally believe we will absolutely spank them. I think there will be five Falkirk goals hitting the back of the Stirling.
Wow. That's a bold statement. I mean, Stirling obviously started the season pretty well. They were up pushing into the playoff places. They've kind of had a wee bit of drop in form since then. Drawn two, lost two, and won one in their last five. But we've got to bear in mind is that Hamilton went there at the start of the season and dropped points, and that's the only points that Hamilton have dropped so far. They've got Edinburgh at home on Saturday, so that's a shoe-in for them, you would think.
You would expect that's a Hamilton win, so we do need to go to fourth bank. And 3 points, however we can get it. But like we saw at the game back in August, they weren't up to much. And I know post-match they were blaming, or they were tired from the Aberdeen game. There was a big crowd at fourth bank. Well, do you know what? There's going to be a big crowd this Saturday. See how you deal with it.
Yeah, I think, like you say, we'll take a real good crowd. I'm going to be in the terracing, the North Terracing for that. It should be, hoping it's decent weather because I bought the tickets. My day out, I think, is going to start at the station in Larbert, a couple of pints in there, through to Stirling, Brewdog, obviously, Ross. We got a message actually from a supporter saying that the cricket ground behind the stand, they'll be serving beer and stuff in there, and Falkirk supporters are welcome in there. I think it was a Falkirk supporter actually who's a member of the cricket club, says the bar's open there, so that could be a good bevy place. Or there's obviously really good pubs in Stirling as well, obviously.
Yeah, some good pubs in Stirling, obviously not Brewdog, but there's some really good pubs in Stirling. But that's a great shout for beside the stadium, because the Brewers Fair type place that's also at the stadiums, it's okay, but it's not the best. So the cricket club, other than the fact that it has host cricket, it sounds like an absolute
It's an ideal away fixture, isn't it? I mean, for me, it's only 7 minutes in the train from Larbert. You're off. I mean, it's a fair wee walk for the ground from the train station to the ground, right enough. You know.
Yeah. We're to be at the stadium, Fourth Bank, for about 12:30, 12:41. So we'll be there quite sharp with the. We hope we'll go about. But as I say, it sounds like there's a fair chunk of Falkirk fans that are going to be in the home end as well, through the hospitality.
Yeah, I mean, Darren Young has done really well with Stirling. Let's not, you know, he brought them up. You know, they had that great, wee kind of result against Aberdeen. They did well. Who was it they beat? They beat St Johnstone, obviously. They were flying at the start of that.
Yeah, in the week. Yeah, they beat them 3-4-0 or something, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some good players. There's no real ex-Falkirk connection in the Stirling side, but we know Dale Carrick will get goals for them. You know, he's talking about Sean Mackey carrying timber. Dale Carrick's definitely carrying a bit of timber these days, but he's played at a level. Greg Spence, likewise, as well. And, you know, they've got goals for Stirling, you know. Greg Spence, Dale Carrick, both on 3 goals each. Paul McQueen's on 3 goals as well. They do carry a bit of threat, but, you know, it's just, I think we're just going to be too much for them again. We are going to be too much. I don't want to sound overconfident, because that's when failure arises, but I just the way we're going and the way we're playing, I'm just quite confident going into it. I'm not 5-goal confident like you, Ross, but
we're a different beast, John. I know I've said that a few times in the last few weeks, but I think we're a different animal this season, both on and off the pitch. And I think we showed, Stirling came at the stadium with an awful lot of confidence in August, and we kind of showed them who we are, and we just need to go through there on Saturday and remind them again.
Yep, let's hope so. My fascinating fact about Stirling is that I was one of the first people to kick the ball on fourth bank. There you go.
What was the story there? Were you playing?
I was like, my dad was involved in construction and building the stadium. And one night, and the pitch had just been laid, so me and my brother broke out of football and played on the pitch. There you go. And the other fascinating Stirling fact is that J. Rodriguez of Burnley fame was on loan there once. There you go. We never knew that. So, there's my two fascinating Stirling Albion facts. So I'll be in the station, a few pints there, then on to Brewdog, obviously, Ross, for a couple of fine ales. You know, maybe Dead Pony Club or something like that. It'd be quite nice. Maybe Elvis Juice or something. And then down to the ground as well. So looking forward to in the test, and I like a good test, and I will not be involved with the ultras this time because I don't think I'll be drunk enough. But we'll see you there, and fingers crossed for a Bairns win. Predictions?
5-0,
I'll go 2-0, and we'll see how it goes. Fingers crossed, and we'll see you at Fourth Bank on Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thanks once again to Haldane Construction, our sponsors. Check them out, get all the links on the bio, or hit them up, haldaneconstruction.co.uk. You know, they are all over it in the central region. Any build you want, they'll sort you out. Tell Peter that we sent you along. Quality and loyalty is at the heart of the business. Check out Haldane Construction. There you go. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We'll find out this week, obviously, what our draw is going to be in the next round of the Trust Trophy. Anything else coming up at the moment at the club? I can't even think. I don't think there is. I might pop down to the reserve game against Dunfermline tomorrow just because I'm off.
Yeah, keep me posted. I'm back to work tomorrow after my holiday, so it's not something I'll be able to get along to, but fingers crossed you do get along. And as you said earlier, always nice to get a win and some goals over that lot.
Exactly. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Hit the bell notification. That means you'll get alerted for when we post up a new video. You can obviously buy merch. We popped this on last week. A lot of people, all the merch money that we have goes back into the coffee. You can get that merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Hoodies, dog bandanas, baby grows, mugs, caps, whatever you want, it's all up there. Check it out. The links are below as well, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And get involved in our Discord channel. Lots of bairns in there chatting away about everything Falkirk. The links are in the bio below as well. That is it for this week's show. Looking forward to a wee away trip to Stirling. Always a good wee away day. And having a few beers this weekend, not as much as I had at Kelty. I was just hasten to add that. So, yeah, a couple of beers with my mate this weekend. He's a Celtic supporter, so I'm taking him along to the game. He's got a week off because they're playing Hearts on the Sunday. So I said, come along to Stirling. He said, why not? It's a day out, isn't it? Day out at the football. So looking forward to that. And that is it for Falkirk Daft. And until next time.
Expect unexpected, buddy.